I'm here to talk to you a little bit about, well, it's about what happened to the people of Israel when they were in the Exodus. But before we do that, let's just pray. Dear God, we praise you and thank you for all of the ways that you guide us and lead us. And we thank you that your word leads us, the wisdom of other people helps to lead us, and you help by leading us in person. And we pray that you'll open our eyes to your scripture today, and we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been doing lots of thinking about what it's like to be in a wilderness experience, and that's what is happening to the people of Israel as we've been reading through Exodus. And I'm thinking about us too. Maybe we're in a wilderness experience as well, and we've talked about that a little bit before. And it's looking more and more like we're beginning the second wave of COVID. And as you know, I don't have to tell you this, living with COVID is hard. It puts people on edge. It makes them long for the past. Remember the old days? Not that long ago when we could go to church on a Sunday morning. We could share Thanksgiving dinner with family and friends. And people just find COVID exhausting. They find it boring. They hate not being able to share life with other people the way they used to. And they wonder, where is God in all of this? They wonder, is life always going to be like this? Well, what if there's a way for past experiences from the Bible to help us understand how to live through a wilderness experience? Well, I think there is. Maybe there's a powerful story that could help us get through the COVID wilderness, as well as other greater wilderness experiences that we may be facing. We talk about that in a moment. Well, for several months, we've been hearing the story of how God freed the people of Israel from slavery, gave them freedom against all odds. It's the story of how God leads his people through the wilderness. The wilderness is real, but it's also a metaphor for difficult soul-searching times that we face as individuals. And you may be going through your own personal wilderness experience right now, or the way we face those wilderness experiences as communities. You know, when something terrible happens within a community, how do you face that situation? Or as a nation, perhaps when we were going through the war a long time ago, but that was a wilderness experience for us as well. And of course, the world is right now facing this pandemic, and it's a wilderness experience for all of us. And it's the story of how difficult it is to move from one way of living to another. That's what happens in a wilderness experience. And when we think about Exodus, the story of Exodus, poor old Moses, he was called to lead the people of Israel, and they wanted somebody to lead them, but the stress of the time kind of made them grumpy. The story tells us that they murmured against Moses and against God, so much so that Moses decided he wanted a sign from God. And I love the movie Bruce Almighty. Jim Carrey plays the part of Bruce. And Bruce, at the very beginning of the movie, is praying to God. He says, please, God, just give me a sign. And as he's asking this, there's a big city truck beside him, and it's loaded with signs that they're going to distribute around the city. And they say things like, wrong way, no left turn, go the other way, stop. But somehow, Bruce doesn't see these or won't see these as signs from God to him. And Moses in the Old Testament, he wanted a sign too, and so did the people. And actually, God had given Moses a lot of signs in the past. For example, the burning bush. You know, that's one of the most famous signs from God in the entire history of the world, the burning bush. And Moses was told, take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy. And then when he went to talk to the Pharaoh, his staff became a snake, which was a sign to all of the people of Egypt. And of course, as they're wandering through the wilderness, God gives them this pillar of fire to lead them by night and a pillar of cloud to lead them by day. So now Moses prays because he wants something more from God. And he says to God, now, God, if I have indeed found favor in your sight, please teach me your ways. And the Living Bible translates that, teach me your ways, as guide me clearly along the way. The NIV says it means teach me your ways. And the good old King James Bible says it means show me now thy way. And the people of Israel were living in the wilderness. They're going through a new direction in life. from slavery to freedom, from Egypt to the promised land, but they were stuck in the middle. They were still in the wilderness. They hadn't got to the promised land, and they wanted to know the best way forward. They wanted to know, is there a future for us? And in COVID, we have a bit of a case of this too, don't we? We're in the middle of this global pandemic. We want to return to the old way of life, and we're not sure how to get back to the new normal, and we don't even know what that means. And God, I think, is trying to speak to us, but at the moment, our wilderness experience makes it hard for us to listen. So just like those in Israel, God is calling us to just slow down, to take time to listen to him. The wilderness is a journey to find God, to listen to him, to learn from him. And the wilderness is this great crucible where radical change happens. And you know as well as I do, change is not always easy for us because change takes us out of our comfort zone, doesn't it? So God speaks to us and he says, don't let anything get between you and me, because I am the Lord your God and you shall have no other gods but me. And we say, okay, God, then show me the way. Give me a sign. Write something in the sky. Do something. And Moses wanted a sign for the people of Israel, but God offered him something better than a sign. So in response to Moses' request that he receive this sign, this guidance, God says this. He says to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So the most frequent promise of God in all of the New Testament and Old Testament put together is, I will be with you. And he says it over and over in many different ways. We wander about saying, God, where are you? And God says, I'm with you. I love the way God speaks about that in Deuteronomy. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And of course, remember what Jesus' last words were before he ascended to heaven. Look, I'm with you always to the end of time. Jesus is God, the very image of God. And God says to Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. If you're looking for the best advice, if you're looking for, I don't know, interactive advice, living advice, then you listen to the guide that has the advice. That's where you get the best guidance. So, and that comes from being in a relationship with the one who is the guide. If life is a journey, and lots of people use that analogy, some of that journey is through the wilderness. And if the wilderness is difficult and pain and full of hard experiences, then make sure you have a good guide. So God says to Moses, my presence will go with you. And that's an interesting turn of phrase. The Hebrew word for presence is panem, which literally means face. So God is saying, my face will go with you. And if my face is going with you, I'm there. This is way better than FaceTime or Facebook. This is God's face, his panem, his presence. And it goes with those who choose to follow God through the wilderness and in all the times of their life. And what does that look like? How does that feel? It's in a lot of ways, that idea of God going with us to be our guide is summed up in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd is a guide for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, so I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in good places, green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And he guides me along the right paths. See, well, there's that word guide. He guides me along the right paths, even for his name's sake. And even if I walk through the darkest times, the darkest valley, I don't have to live in fear of evil because I know you are with me. So that's that whole idea of God being the guide, God walking with us. God will never abandon us. We have his word on that. So then Moses, I think sort of in a mischievous way, trying to push a little further, says, well, then God, let me see your glory. And the Lord says, well, I will. He says, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you. And that word goodness refers to all of God's glorious attributes. And if you've maybe sometime met somebody who just has that aura about them, that presence about them, and you know, when they walk into the room, the whole room changes. And when you meet somebody like that, that's a little glimpse of what God's goodness is like. But you sort of take that idea of God, of their goodness, and multiply it by a billion, and then take that to the 23rd power, and that's what God's goodness is like. So in our lives, it may happen like this. Like sometime you might be saying a prayer, and suddenly you have this sense God is there somehow. Or you might be reading from something from the Bible, and maybe you're deeply touched by it because of something that's going on in your own life as well as reading the Bible, and they come together, and then suddenly you're aware of God's presence with you, of God's power with you. Or you, I mean, this is maybe a frequent one in the Bow Valley. You have an incredible view of the mountains. Maybe you've climbed to the top, or maybe you're standing looking in awe of some huge peak, and suddenly you're overwhelmed by this awe. And if you search into that, you see it's an awe of God, the creator of everything. And this is a thing that happens frequently. It's happened since Jesus was around and before that, and it's also happened since then. One famous example is Charles Wesley, who maybe is the most preeminent songwriter in the English language for Christian songs. And one time in 1738, I know that's a long time ago, something amazing happened to him. He was lying in bed. He was very ill. He thought he was going to die. He knew he wasn't ready to die. And he'd had several people come and pray with him and talk to him. And then in a moment, while he was all alone, he suddenly felt God's presence with him, a personal encounter with God. And he wrote in his journal, he described it this way: he had a strange palpitation in his heart, and that caused him to just be overwhelmed by the presence of God and exclaim, you know, I believe, I believe. And he was speaking to God. And then several sentences later, he said, now I've found this new peace with God, and I rejoiced in the hope that I had of loving Christ. And then a few days later, his brother, John Wesley, had this experience at Aldersgate, where his heart, he wrote in his journal — they were big on journaling, I guess — he wrote, my heart was strangely warmed. And that experience with God still happens today. And you probably know people who've had some kind of experience like that, and their hearts, their minds, all that they are has been touched by the presence of God. And that's what God is promising us, and promising to the people in Exodus who were out in the wilderness, of this experience with him, that his panem, his face, his presence would be with us. And he promises that to you and to me, that that's available. And you might say, well, you know, like, I'm no saint, like I'm no John Wesley, or I'm no Mother Teresa, or, you know, some very saintly person. I'm just ordinary. I've done so many things wrong, God will never talk to me. But listen to what God says about that. In the very next line, as he's talking to Moses, he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. That's what God is like. He doesn't wait until you're good enough and then say, okay, I'll have a relationship with you. He doesn't wait until you've perfected yourself. No. He says, I will just pour out my presence with you. I will pour out my grace on you. That grace is that unearned gift from God. And God's heart is like that. God's heart is of love and compassion and mercy and goodness. Well, we're all going through a wilderness experience right now. And I think as we go through that, God wants you to enter into that personal relationship with him. And he's speaking to you. And that's part of what happens in a wilderness experience. And he's given signs to you And you may be tempted to go back to the old way, you know, the way we had before COVID. But God is calling you into this new relationship. In the wilderness, you really have an opportunity to see what's going on. And if you take a look at our culture has been moving away from God. We no longer trust in God. In fact, we seem to trust in everything but God to give us real meaning and purpose. That's what we're, you know, we're searching for. You know, we put our trust in an economic system. We hope that will result in us being happy. We put our trust in science, that science will be able to resolve all our problems. We put our trust in the legal system, and we hope that there will be justice. And yet, there isn't always justice. We trust our politicians for good governance that we might have good lives. And they're not able to do that. And all of these systems, all of these establishments are humankind's way of trying to solve the problems of life. And they're not bad, they're great. It's that attempt that we want to live right. But they fail because the love of God isn't at the center of them. The idea of God above us and us as his family below. You know, God isn't at the center of our lives. And if God's not at the center of our lives, then our human attempts will fail. And today, it's not just COVID that we're facing as a problem for all of humankind, but we're on the knife's edge of the end of everything. You know, a few weeks ago, I was reminding people about what I'd done over the summer. And I said that, well, I'd read David Wallace Wells' book, The Uninhabitable Earth, which chronicles the ways in which our self-centered abuse of the planet over the past 120 years will make our Earth uninhabitable within the next 100 years. There's a new documentary on Netflix. It's David Attenborough. He's 93 now, and all of his life he's been chronicling the beauty, the splendor, the wonder of all creation. And in his latest video, Life on Our Planet, and you can watch that on Netflix if you want, he's traveled to every part of the globe. And he said, you know, I've gone back to some of those places and I realized that unless we take dramatic steps, the blind assault that we've made on the planet will be the end of us in the next 100 years. We're facing some wilderness experiences. God commissioned us to care for the earth, just as a gardener cares or tends for his or her garden. Over time, we began to think that we have no responsibility to God. We claimed ownership and authority over all of the planet, that we could do whatever we pleased. We dismantled the idea that we're God's servants, and we've seen ourselves as sovereign. Is there hope? There is, if we turn back to God, if we rediscover God's sovereignty in our lives and over the planet and over our identity. Maybe it all turns on the toss of the coin, the clash between authorities. Jesus was asked by the Pharisees and the Herodians, is it lawful to pay tax to the emperor or not? Jesus asked somebody, could anybody here give me a coin? And they gave him a denarius. Isn't it interesting? Jesus didn't have his own coin to use. Here he was the heir of the whole universe and he had to borrow a coin. Then he asked an embarrassing question for those who had asked the original question. He said to them, whose portrait is on this coin and whose inscription? And they said, the emperor's. The image was that of Caesar. The inscription read, Tiberius Caesar Augustus, son of the deified Augustus, chief priest. Deified Augustus. And then he said to them, well, therefore, give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. And the word for give in Greek is apodote, which means actually give back. So he's saying the coin bears Caesar's image. So give it back to Caesar. But by implication, he's saying, you bear God's image. So give yourself back to God. Give your life to God. Follow God. Follow the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and learn to follow him more completely each day as we walk through the wilderness, as we realize he walks with us. Work to restore God to the center of your life, to the center of our community, to the center of the world. And through that, in the middle of COVID, in the middle of any wilderness experience, through that, we have hope. Well, we're just going to take a moment to pray now. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you're not far, far away, but you've promised that your face is right there with us. Sometimes we have trouble seeing you there. Sometimes we have trouble knowing that you're there, but help us to just be reminded each day that you are with us, and help us to just turn our lives to your guidance. Help us to turn our lives to being in a relationship with you. Help us to turn away from the old ways of living and have you at the center of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name.